Hey everybody, this is Bevan. And you're listening to Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends podcast. I'm your host, Bevan. I said my name three times. It's time to start the show. My co-host Biscuit Reynolds remains in the afterlife till he incarnates again, and I'll let you know when I'm aware of his reincarnation. Okay, so this is like my third solo episode in a row, and I kind of, in my Capricorn with a Virgo rising way, I like to do interview solo, or interview, 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 right? Like, but here we are having this beautiful ping pong. I've been so grateful for the topics I've been getting from folks. So if you have a topic that you'd love me or appreciate for me, I don't know if love is the word, but I hope you love me. I love you. I don't even have to know you to love you. I might need to have boundaries with you because that's also part of loving people, is you have boundaries with people you want to be in relationship with. This isn't an episode about boundaries. Maybe it's an episode about boundaries with self. This is an episode about regret. But if you would like to propose a topic, you want to hear my thoughts on it, or my experience with something, or ask me some personal question about my life. Like, it's so funny because like I do share a lot of my autobiography real time on the internet. I've been blogging since 2002. So like, there's a lot of Bevan that's existed on the internet. But I only do it with the intention to share, like purpose to the pain, right? Like I've gone through something, I found something really fun, here's something really valuable, right? Like that's always the intent. And my intent is I'm here to help. So anyway, there's plenty of stuff I don't share. I mean, if you'd be surprised how much I actually don't share. But anyway, all that to say, if you have questions, please hit me up, fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com. And this question came from a Patreon supporter. Thank you so much for your support of my Patreon and your cheerleading. This is also a person who raves about things. Went back in time to a pep talk because I have a series of Patreon pep talks available on my Patreon page, patreon.com slash FKDP, which stands for Fat Kid Dance Party, which is my aerobics class for anyone who feels left behind by mainstream fitness. You don't have to want to work out with me to join my Patreon. That's just one of the benefits of joining, is you get access to all my Zoom classes. And at the on-demand tier, you get access to this giant library of fun classes with me. I'm really trying to hit all the areas of need that I can with movement. But really, I'll be honest, it's not, I mean, yes, movement, because we need to move our bodies, right? That's part of having a meat sack, is tending to it with movement. But it's really because people learn faster. You learn through 20 or less repetitions when you incorporate play versus 400 repetitions when it's just words, right? So, or reading or listening. So it's me having done these years of wanting to help people like learn to regard themselves with love and grace. Oh, shit. It was me. It was me who didn't go on airplane mode. Anyway, so, but it's all good. Anyway, so I got this great question from one of my Patreon supporters. Please su consider supporting the podcast so I can keep making it. I have a lot of lofty goals in mind. Like, I'll talk more about that in this episode. But all that to say, the question was basically like, do you have any regrets in terms of career decisions? How do I deal with regret? Like, can you use it to inform future decisions? And when is it okay to give up on a business venture when it's not working out and you're running out of money? Whew, what a tender time for me to be asked this question, because I am working. So I just described Fat Kid Dance Party aerobics. That's the thing. Like, I was the lawyer for a long time. I practiced in some for 15 years. That includes some time working in law firms before I got my license, but in some 15 years. And I walked away from it really slowly. It wasn't like some moment where I was like, oh yes, like I can definitely leave this career. It was mostly like 5 years working hard in a law firm, making not even six figures, like 80K was the top of what I made. And I, like, my boss was paying for my cell phone, and so he felt entitled to me being available all the time. And you know what? Like, the higher you get paid, the more of your life they own. And so, I can't blame him. And I want to say, like, in hindsight, knowing more about astrology, I'm so grateful my first long-term boss was a Pisces. Because like it really, like, I think the fact I cried a lot in his office because I had so much defensiveness and I was so triggered so much because I was in constant fight or flight mode, that he was very tender with me sometimes, and then sometimes he would yell at me and then I would cry. So If I could go back and just, I wouldn't relive it, but I would like to just peek into one of those moments, like 7 p.m. in the office, crying in my boss's office because he yelled at me. Anyway, all that to say, like then when I got laid off from that job, because as much as my boss loved me, like he wasn't gonna stay in business as the economy was collapsing in 2008, just so that I could make 80K, you know, like. So he laid me off, and I knew at that point that a 9 to 5 was a scam. I knew how much my boss made off of my work. I had actively been trying to get work as a real estate attorney in another firm, but based on my experience, basically what people do with the type of law I was practicing, residential real estate primarily, they go into business for themselves, which, like, now that I know what it means to be an entrepreneur, I know that I was self-employed and not an entrepreneur, right? And so, like, I managed to get clients. So what I ended up being able to do was, like, I got a gig working retail at a plus size resale store. And then I was, so I could make my rent. I knew I could make my rent just based on how much I was working at that store. And she gave us health insurance because back then she had, there was some like grant or something for Brooklyn businesses to give that were small that could give their employees health insurance. And so that was part of how we had health insurance. I'm sure that's impossible now, but it was nice then to like have those things handled, right? Also, put wings on your dreams and fly. This a Dolly mug that I have. I made it special for this episode. Okay, so that was like how I transitioned to like having my own law firm. And so I just started like developing clients. I got a website back when not a lot of law firms had websites. So basically, I was like the queen of getting millennial business because like other attorneys hadn't figured out how to like, you know, tap into that type of market. I had a Yelp profile that worked really well to funnel new business to me. And then, like, once you've been in business for a while, if you're good at what you do, and I will say in hindsight, I was a really good lawyer, but I did not perceive myself that way because I had a lot of self-image stuff to work through. So, because like law like beats you down. Like the whole point of law school is to pummel you into pulp and reframe your brain so that you're more argumentative. And I will tell you, it improved all of my relationships when I realized after my first partnership after law school into my second partnership, I was like, I can no longer bring my lawyer brain into arguments with a person I love. And that was a really important boundary with myself. So all that to say, then I was like kind of cruising with my own firm. Eventually the retail business I was working for went out of business, and I made the vow to myself that I was no longer going to care more about someone else's small business than they cared about it, which is so funny because that opportunity has come up multiple times since then to choose not to care anymore about someone's small business who doesn't care. You know, I was working for a gym that was not living up to their stated values. And after 9 months, I decided I can no longer hope that you're going to live up to these values. I'm going to walk away now. So, you know, when you make vows to yourself, like that's part of how you build your self-image, actually, is following through with your commitments to yourself. So I was working about 10 hours a week in my law firm, making like just above broke income. And thank God for Obamacare, because that's how I ended up getting health insurance after the store closed. And I was doing fine, you know, like I was spending like 90 hours a week on my art and activism. This podcast I would count as my art and activism. Like at this point in my career, which is just your long job, like I would call this like communications work I do to support my aerobics. Because really the aerobics are like what I want to be my main income source. But to be honest and totally transparent with you, it is not. I mean, it is my primary income source, but I'm not making enough money to live. So, like, I'm making far less now than I was in the early quarantine, when I guess more people needed Zoom aerobics, or I was able to get in front of more people. I don't know. Like, the forever issue that I have, like, to solve as a communications barrier is like, how do I get in front of new people who can value what I have to offer? And question mark, I don't know. Like, and it's funny because like all reach out to people who are like engaged listeners and be like, how did you find me originally? And like some people are like, oh, like, you know, I remember you from your live. I sold an aerobics ticket to someone who remembers me from my LiveJournal days. And like that was like 2006 through 2009, right? And like someone else was like, oh, I saw you in an article on Autostraddle, like, and that was probably like 2008. If you ever see my email signature, it says Warrior for Self-Love. That's from that Autostraddle article. So like Right? Like, who knows where people find me, right? Like, I had a video about my class go viral in 2017 before I even had a website for my aerobics class. So here's a tip. Don't go viral if you don't have a way for people to engage with you online or try to do your virality after that. But you can't. I think virality is an act of God. Like, obviously, algorithms are programmed by people who have bias against people who speak out against genocide and things like that, right? So, like, choosing to speak my mind, I know. I don't know. I don't like to play the algorithm game anymore. My favorite communication strategy is be so great they can't take their eyes off you. You know what I mean? Like, you're listening to my podcast. I don't know how many minutes we're into this, but you're still listening. So something in here has got value for you. And so I'm grateful for your time, treasure, and attention. And it's just a matter of, like, being at scale in a business is just being able to serve more people with less time on the front end. Most businesses, all businesses sell goods or services, right? And so, like, here's the thing. Entrepreneurship is so freaking hard. Like, I wouldn't, like, I wish they taught us about this in high school so that you could understand it was an option, but, like, it really is the kind of thing, like, if I hadn't had the help step into my life when it did, like, to support me emotionally through this journey, like, I don't think I could still be here, you know? But I will also say this, like, do I regret leaving my law firm? Like, because I let, oh, and I never finished that story. It's very ADHD brain. We're going to tell 20 stories at once. I stepped away from practicing law, even though I, like, probably could have, like, I would say this, if I had not followed my partner to Los Angeles, and looked at the California bar exam website just to look, just to see what it would take for me to get my license in California, and felt a full body ick. Like, I felt like vomiting looking at that website. And I was like, oh, that's my body telling me that's not the direction to go. And I, like, she offered for me to move. She was lobbying me hard to move to Los Angeles with her. And so she said, I'll support your career transition. Because, like, I knew I wanted to be in business for myself. I just didn't exactly know what. Kind of thought I was going to start a tea business. And I think this is actually a good way to talk through, like, when to give up something. So when I got my Reiki level one, so Reiki is life force energy. I'm a Reiki master. If you want a Reiki healing, you can shoot me an email. We'll set up a session. I am very good at Reiki. I'll say this, like, some, like, a lesbian I met at a festival. I was only at level one at this point. She said I did Reiki on her, and she's like the kind of lesbian who's, she's like a psychiatric nurse. She has lots of money and she does a lot of energy healing. She was like, you're incredible. And this is at level one. And now I'm a master. So anyway, I received that compliment and I know that I'm powerful. And I love to help people. And Reiki is just, like, helps to reduce stress, anxiety, relieve depression, restore balance in the body, and help your cells, like, help whatever gunk is getting in the way of your cells' natural healing ability, because our cells are literally designed to heal us. But sometimes we have stuff going on, you know? And, like, I believe first, like, things land in your energy field. And I love energy healing because it feels too simple to work, which makes it very anti-capitalist, because capitalism wants us to believe that everything worth doing requires effort. Success is uphill the whole way, but it's like, what's the right effort, right? So, energy clearing, energy first lands there, and then it becomes emotions, and then it becomes disease in the body. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that, but that's what I believe. And that's how I think Reiki can help. So, I knew in my first level one that once you get to level two, he said, my teacher said that you can then put it into objects. And I immediately knew I needed to put Reiki in tea. So, and I'm a big tea aficionado. I love tea so much. And so it was just a natural thing that I was very passionate about to, like, work with plants. And I will tell you, I do think that part of my life path is working with plants and teaching with plants and healing with plants, myself and others. But as I, like, moved to LA, gave up my law practice, because, like, I knew just that full body reaction, it was, like, the right thing to do to just walk away from law, which was such a huge deal. And I'll tell you, my partner broke up with me and I was left, like, with rent in Los Angeles. And, like, I truly couldn't believe, like, I was like, I can't believe I moved all the way to LA and, like, this is it, you know, and just to be someone's housewife for a while, which, like, is very reductive because I actually worked very hard at, like, building first the tea business and then my aerobics business. And I was kind of doing both at the same time, which, you know, focus is something you give yourself to go faster. You know, like, a lot of entrepreneurial ventures require you to go into six figures of debt and be, like, incredibly like 24/7 in your business. And it's funny, my friend Alexis, hi Alexis, we were driving around, or no, we were bicycling around on a pedicab on a Monday in Port Townsend, and we kept seeing places. And she's like, oh, that's the owner of the pizza place driving the delivery truck. And like, oh, that's the owner of the movie theater working the concession stand. And I'm thinking, yeah, because like, pay for staff or show up yourself, you know, like on a Monday, like, are you going to pay? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it really is like a thing. Like, so if you can save the money by showing up yourself, do it, you know, like being at scale is really just like figuring out either how to have all the employees to like not have to do it yourself, or to like, you know, how I scaled with Fat Kid Dance Party Aerobics is I made a workout video series. So if you want to work out with me at any point, you can just buy the series and have it just like a Richard Simmons DVD. That's really what the vision was. And then now I also have an on-demand membership, so you can work out with me at any point. And I don't have to be there, but I was there and present with you with 110% effort, a mathematical impossibility. And yet I was there with that effort, because that's the thing that I care the most about being great at. And that's available for you, right? Like, so that's how I scale, right? So it's like I'm serving people in the future through time and space. But in order to be effective, you have to communicate about it, and you got to get the clients to convert, and you got to figure out the website and all of this kind of stuff, right? There are so many hassles to entrepreneurship, and something I did not realize is that it's constantly dealing with problems. But that's life. Like, life is literally just more lessons to learn. And yeah, it's just more lessons to learn. There's always just something new to learn and lean into. Something I heard recently is that humility is where God can come in, and ego is edging God out. That's something I learned in recovery. So like, your ego is constantly trying to keep you safe and like trying to keep you in your comfort zone and not pursuing like your next level, right? But what I'm realizing, like at this point, like as I'm like kind of realizing, like, oh, for a while I was able to like pay all of the bills with my aerobics class and like a few gigs coming in and like supplemented with like Reiki clients. And I also do business brainstorming with people so I can get in with your idea and help you figure stuff out. And I help people get paid on Patreon. Like, I do a lot of things because my brain is busy and likes to do things and likes to have different days, right? But that business just isn't flowing, and I don't know why. And it needs more relief. So last August, I took a cleaning job, like 5 hours a day, one day a week, I was cleaning. Like, and I took it originally here on my land. And then now, thank God, I have to say, like, the working, like, it was fine when they left me alone, you know, and the like, you know, boomer lesbian overlords of the land I live on left me alone. But then when they started bugging me about stuff, like they wanted me to sign this form that I didn't feel comfortable signing because I'm a lawyer and I know what the form says, and the form doesn't say what they say it says, and they're all full of hubris, not humility. And so I was like, I was able to rage quit, thank God, because Alexis runs a micro hotel in Port Townsend, so now I'm cleaning there. So but it's great because she pays more, and I'm only working 4 hours a day, one day a week. It's about all my body can handle on top of teaching aerobics. Like, my body, like, I'm really having to solve some problems with my body right now. And that's been hard because, like, I need, you know, basically more money for things like acupuncture and supplements to help support my body. So now I'm looking to get another job to add to the income streams, which, like, I say that with a heavy side and some real vulnerability, because I do feel like a failure. Because, like, it's one thing to like hit your dream, you know, it's another thing to sustain and be able to keep sustaining your dream. And like, it was always my dream to live and make money off of my art and activism and not have to like have a boss and have a job. But the reality is, like, you know, I'm just not serving as many clients as I once was with my Patreon. Like, it's at about half of what it once was. And that sucks. And I miss the days when I was very popular on the internet and it just felt like I could go, like, I was able to tour. I don't know how many cities I went to in 2018, but I toured a lot. Like, I had that viral video. I did a crowdfund for a workout video series. Like, it was like all of the burners were lit and I was everywhere all the time. And like, I was getting a lot of opportunities because I lived in LA. And I had someone who was like my in-house cheerleader supporting me. I will say, like, you know, the relationship was was great, honestly, like until it ended. And like, and that was just my perception of it because I was getting a lot of my needs met, you know? And like, and it's really one of those things where like I think our emotional resilience is stronger, given our intimate support system. And that's why it's so funny because like I take it very seriously, like the idea of being a wife again, because I know how important that job is, and I know how much I would invest in somebody, you know, who was my favorite person on the planet, which is the only reason you should get married, I think. Anyway, all that to say, like I had all that, and then poof, suddenly it was like a total tailspin in 2019. But I still had my Patreon page, which was supporting me, and I knew if I moved up here, because I live in the lesbian woods and I don't pay a lot in rent, and like my Patreon like handles my rent basically, but like to pay for everything else, like I got to figure out another income stream or two, you know, why not? Like I put out a pet sitting thing. Now that I don't have a high needs pet in my home, I'm like out on the rover available for pet sitting. You know, if you're in the Seattle Olympic Peninsula area and you need a good house sitter and you have reliable Wi-Fi, I'm your gal. Anyway, so just like trying, you know, putting it out there. I think something I heard once, is that sometimes your dream, sometimes your work in the world, because I think our work in the world can be different than like how we exchange time for money, you know, or exchange value for money. But our like work in the world sometimes needs you to get a job, you know, it sometimes needs support. And like I view Fat Kid Dance Party Aerobics, like I was just struggling to figure out like who am I, what am I doing in the world until I finally found this thing. And I see her as my daughter, you know, like I'm never gonna not teach this aerobics class. So like I'm never gonna like be like, oh, we're in danger of closing. I know a lot of people say that and do that. I'm not in danger of closing. Like, I will figure this out, you know? Like, I need a new laptop in order to keep teaching aerobics. So, like, you know, part of this is like, let me relieve the pressure on the aerobics so it can pay for itself and like get some equipment upgrades and things like that, right? So I'm trying to make mature decisions, and I'm trying to remind myself constantly. There's a great book I read called Failing Forward by John Maxwell. And I wish I had read that book first when I like endeavored to, I've read like easily 15 of his books now. I wish I had read that one first. It is such a good reframe of failure. Because failure, like the real failure is not trying. The real failure is quitting when like you just have some problems to solve and to figure out, right? I would say like, to the question that sparked this episode, I would say that like, when do you know when it's time to walk away? With my tea business, I realized the liability in having a small product-based business that was consumable products, and that, like, just having no capital to start it was just too hard for me, you know. And it was just like it was just not a worthy endeavor anymore, and it wasn't really my work in the world. But Fat Kid Dance Party Aerobics was my work in the world. You know what I mean? And it's almost like I just had this like calling and conviction. I knew I needed to start this podcast just because like I just kept getting the message. You need to start a podcast again. And so I started this podcast, right? And so I am just like really discerning the difference between a yes and a fuck yes. And sometimes it really takes some like going within and some real soul searching to figure out like, okay, is this something I continue doing? Right. Like, so I will tell you, I'm not going to quit Fat Kid Dance Party. I did consider qu quitting teaching in Seattle because I started up in-person classes because my psychic, Chrissy Tolley, her guides told me I needed to teach in person again. They were like, you need to figure out your COVID protocols so you can teach in person. And like, I was like, because it's just every different class is a different communication strategy. So it's just more effort and also capital to like book a space, you know, and to like do that. And so, and I will tell you, like I taught my first class, I sold 8 tickets. My second class, I sold ultimately 4, but 2 were very last minute. And then my third class that I taught, I've been teaching monthly. My third class, I sold 1 ticket. That person didn't come to class, and the 2 people that came were my friends, which I'm grateful they came. And I will say that video from that class, I'm about to release it in the on-demand membership. It's my best work yet. Like I love that I'm peeking at this thing that really matters to me. So like I'm getting a lot of like enrichment and like non-monetary value from the work I'm doing. But thank goddess for like the ways in which wealth presents in non-monetary ways too. Cause my friend Ginger in Seattle, who's a regular, who's been to all of the Seattle classes, She was like, I'm a member of a lawn bowling club. This is a very true conversation. I'm a lawn bowling club member. And I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And we have a clubhouse that we can rent out potentially for aerobics. And so I'm getting a, because they have a program for underserved populations. So because this is fat, queer, disabled, accessible aerobics, I get a free place to teach Seattle aerobics. So it continues, right? So like it was so funny because I was ready to give up because I was like, clearly the market's not here. You know what I mean? And like I'm trying, I'm like networking and like, but networking is just making friends, by the way. So I'm just out here pumping the pump, doing what I can do, lighting up the world with what I can give, and also really, really working hard to not burn myself out, which again, there's an episode a few ago, a solo episode about working at a pace of peace. And that is so important to me. Like I've definitely had wins from overwork and burnout. I look back at my life in LA and I'm like, I truly cannot believe I lived at that pace. Like I was everywhere. Like I went so many places. There's no integration time at all. So like this is a different life. And I will say I have some grief actually around like when I moved up here, the whole point was like I wanted to be a digital nomad because like I had a psychic hit that like my person was coming. I talked about that in probably the True Love episode from February. But I had a hit that my person was coming and that they were a touring musician. And I was like, okay, let me be a digital nomad so I'm ready to get picked up. You know what I mean? And like, hope is not a strategy. Hope is an attitude. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, I want to be flexible. I want to be available. Right. And like, you know, having the cleaning gig even is like a thing where I can just be like, okay, I'm going to be on the road for a while. Right. But now that I'm like, suiting up to get another job, you know, like I don't know that I'm not going to get a full-time job, but you know, probably maybe retail at the dispensary because it's close. So there's like not a lot of barriers to like working, you know. But again, that's also tiring on the body. So I don't know. We're going to see. This is, it has to be sustainable and I have to figure it out. But I will say, like, to answer the question, do I have any career regrets? No. In 2019, I longed for the path I didn't take, where like I would have ended up in the Hudson Valley, that's in New York State, practicing law and like living a simpler life, right? Like that, like I was like, oh, I wish I had not given up this career for this person who sucks, you know? And like, but I didn't give it up for her. I gave it up for me because I knew like it wasn't on my spirit to do it. And I knew I was being led somewhere else. And I knew moving to LA would help me develop my psychic senses. And I knew that was important. And so it's funny because like that was actually true. I did really deepen my psychic senses and develop myself spiritually while I was in LA because of the people I was around and the classes I was able to take. And then moving up here, you know, I take classes now online and I have really, really deepened what I have access to. And I think sometimes like working in your psychic self makes things faster and makes things easier and you make better decisions. With the exception of one recent decision that I made with the help, I checked in with my guides. My guides were very clear, you should do this. And I will say the lessons I learned from it, like I healed some authority trauma in that and healed some like mom trauma in that, like seeing my mom more as my ally than ever before. And so I'm grateful for those lessons, but boy, do I wish I hadn't listened to God, so I was like, you led me down a path of bullshit. But sometimes you have to go through the path of bullshit to learn the lesson. And I always pray for the lessons to be gentle, and I pray for ease in things. And the things that I regret most, like not trying out for the cheerleading squad in high school because that was on my heart to do. And I can remember it's this is how I can tell something's a real life regret. If I can remember like a real ordinary moment, like I remember sitting in a car in the parking lot of my high school, looking at the football field and thinking, man, I really want to join the cheer squad. And I didn't. And if I had pursued that, I would have learned some lessons that I have learned in my 40s. Instead of waiting till my 40s to learn those lessons, I would have learned them earlier in life. Who knows what my life could have been? Like when I read Brandi Carlile's memoir, and I read about her dropping out of high school because she knew that wasn't going to give her the results or the life that she wanted. Like, that's what I wish I had done. There's nothing I do in my life that requires any of the degrees that I have. And I know that's a point of privilege to be able to even say I have degrees I don't use. But I mean, I guess I do use my women and gender studies degree, but like, you can learn that stuff on the street. I almost want to, and I probably will put together a women and gender studies curriculum that people can just have from my blog. And like, here's something to read, here's something to consider. get yourself a feminist discussion group so you can talk this stuff through, because that's really what we were doing. So we were reading and discussing, and that's the classes, and then writing papers, performing knowledge. So like, you know, that's a big regret I have, because I don't know what that path would have looked like, but I do think that I would have ended up a hairdresser and an aerobics instructor and lived with my stepmom for a while. And she died when I was 19. And that's a big regret I have, is like people I love who aren't here anymore, who I didn't love as well as I could have on the earth plane. And I wish I would have. And the way I deal with my regrets is I live better and I make better decisions. So now I choose faith over fear. I choose to be more curious than afraid. I choose to like know what's a fuck yes to me and like release anything that's not. And I choose me. And yeah, so I don't know, like regrets are a thing that's very personal. And I really think we all have these individual life paths and these individual things that our souls are longing to do. And capitalism sucks. And it sucks that like we should, by virtue of being born, we should get to lay around in the forest, like eating fruit. Like fruit should be free. You know what I mean? Like it's so abundant and like just grows on trees. Like land, like the idea of land ownership is really only created through like white guys with guns, like taking over things, like not that long ago in the scheme of human life. Like, so I don't know. I just like long to make a lot of money so I can make life easier for people, you know, create sanctuaries for people and animals, for people to live like kind of like I do. I live low rent so that I can like focus on my art as much as I can. And like, yeah, I want to make that possible for people. I want to fund artists and activists. I want the world to be better because I was here, but I don't want to make some big company. My company exists to facilitate me teaching aerobics 3 times a week. Right now, I'm my company, but it was a big moment when I decided, oh, I don't even want to be the CEO of my company when I have the resources, right? Like I want someone else to do that stuff. I just want to be creative and teach and make the world better because I was here. And so that's why I'm going to continue to produce and continue to create. And I'm so proud of myself for being on this podcast streak. For a long time, I was doing it weekly. And then last year, I just had a lot of soul searching to do and did not feel generative in that way. And now I'm back. And so I'm grateful to all of you, to the 12 of you for whom I was your top podcast on Spotify, because they told me there were 12 people that were like my top listeners. I am so grateful for you. Thank you for that, because that told me, oh, there are people actually who do give a shit about what you have to say, even if you haven't said a lot this year. So I'm going to keep on producing and keep on creating. I'm excited to have another Habits podcast in the works with my friend as soon as she's done being very sick. We're going to record, and I have a few other interviews in the hopper, but it's Mercury retrograde. What do we expect? But today is 4/4/24. I love a date like that. It just feels so powerful. And I've kind of realized that since I can't make things happen to me, I can only make things happen. Like when there's a fun date like that, I always like to try to, you know, do an aerobics class or film an aerobics class or do a podcast, right? Like, so I can like create with this time, because you can say you spent your four, you spent, I, you spent my 4/4/24 with you whenever you're listening to this in the future. And maybe you listen to it again and you're listening to it again, and we're just inceptioning again and again. Anyway, I hope this helps. I hope you don't live with regrets. I hope that you forgive yourself. Like that's something I'm learning from Marianne Williamson. I'm doing, she offered a coaching program once a month for $5 a month. And I was like, in. This is a woman who like really doesn't let other people hold her back from speaking truth to pseudo power. And that is what I need more of in my life. And so, you know, if Beyonce can release an album that has 27 tracks on it with like an hour and 18 minutes of material, if Dolly Rebecca Parton can release an album, this is her most recent one, with like, I don't know how, it's like 30 something tracks and it's over 2 hours of music. If these women can just be like, I'm here to create and take up space, so can I, right? And like, luckily for them, they're at scale. So like they're serving a lot of people and they're able to make incredible wealth from making their art. I am just trying to make a difference. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, trying to have a good humor about it and recognizing, okay, this is a little bit of a failure right now financially, and it's a solvable problem. So I'm going to go out and solve that problem. And I love you very much. I'm so grateful for you being here. If you want to tip me, I'd love to get a tip. There's lots of ways to send me cash or presents through the links in my show notes. But mostly I just want you to do something brave with your life and to choose curiosity over fear somewhere in your life this week, today, whenever it comes up. Because, like, you know, there's a text message I didn't respond to inviting me to a Dead & Company concert in 2016 in October. And, like, I didn't go because I couldn't afford it. And, like, I could have figured it out, but I didn't. And why do I remember that moment? I don't know. But, like, I regret it. Like, because I'm like, I chose fear about money over curiosity. What would have happened? Right? Like, dumb little moments like that pop out in my memory. Those are the regrets. But, like, I can't know what it was. And I can only do better going forward. So I hope you do better. But mostly, I hope you know how much I love you and how important your voice is to the world, because everybody's voice really does matter. And we really underestimate our influence. Okay. Thanks for the great question. Bye, everybody.